Yesterday in our men's fellowship breakfast, Brother Gene shared the devotion. I mentioned it in my words this morning. If you read my words about grandparents, he reminded us of the impact that we have on the generations that come after us. One of the things he referenced in his devotion was, I wouldn't call it a fad, but it was something that was going around back in the 90s that was based on a book that a man by the name of Shelton wrote. That was called In His Steps. Some of you might have read that book, but it's the story of a pastor and a church that had grown comfortable in their Christianity, and an unemployed homeless man came to town. He couldn't find work, and it seemed like nobody in the town had time for him, and so he came to church one Sunday morning. And the pastor watched as the church reacted to that homeless, unemployed man. And it led the pastor to ask the question, what would Jesus do in a situation like that? And the rest of the story is about the pastor and the church and eventually the whole town asking that question before they took any action. What would Jesus do? And if you remember, back in the 90s, as Gene reminded us yesterday, people wore a bracelet or a necklace or something else that had the initials or the letters on it, WWJD, what would Jesus do? The greatest responsibility we have as Christians is to be like Jesus. Paul's greatest desire, as he wrote in the book of Philippians, was that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. And I don't know, some of you might be saying as I say that, you might say, hey, wait a minute, preacher, Jesus was sinless. I'm a sinner. I can't be like Jesus in that quality. He was omnipotent. He was all-powerful. And I am a weak creature of flesh. I can't be like him in that quality either. He was omniscient. He was all-knowing. I am without knowledge in a lot of areas, so I can't be like him in that quality. He was the creator. I am a creature, so I cannot be like him in that quality. But there are, and so there's a lot of ways that we cannot be like Jesus, but I want to mention tonight three ways that we can be like our Savior. Peter wrote, we read it a minute ago, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And as we look at the Savior and look at the steps that he took while he was here on this earth, we see three ways that we can be like him. Number one, we can be like him in our surrender to the will of God. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O God. And his desire was to do the will of the Father. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified, he said, Father, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. He came to earth for one purpose, to do the will of his Father, and everything that he did as he walked the face of this earth was in accordance with the Father's will. That pleased the Father so much, and I mentioned it this morning, that on two occasions, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now again, I'll mention it again tonight. That's my desire for every single person here. I want you, when you walk through the gate of heaven, and you walk the gold street, and you meet your Savior, I want him to say about you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if we live our life pleasing to God, we can hear him say that to us. And one of the ways we please God, and we talked about it this morning, is depending on him, surrendering our will to him. Now, I would hasten to say tonight that that's a little hard for most of us. Most of us have a stubborn streak, not in all areas of our life, but in some. There are some areas of our life that we want to retain control. There are some areas of our life that we want to do our will, not the Father's will. It's not easy to surrender all. It's not easy to surrender every area of our life. It's not easy to say in every area of our life, all of it, in totality, completely, it's not easy to say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. But if we're going to follow in the steps of Christ, if we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to say that in every area of our life. Job did. He lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. His wife said to him one time, he said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said this, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You see, Job wouldn't have chosen to lose everything that he had. He wouldn't have chosen to lose his health. He wouldn't have chosen to lose his wealth. He wouldn't have chosen to lose his children. He wouldn't have chosen to sit in the garbage heap and scrape his boils with broken pottery and have the heat of the garbage burning provide him some comfort. He would not have chosen that. That would not have been his will. But he said, Lord, if this is your will for my life, I'm just going to trust you. You can kill me. I'm still going to trust you. I'm going to submit my will to yours. Abraham was another one that tried to submit his will to God. He got off course a couple times, but he tried to submit his will to God. When God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to pick up. I want you to move. And God didn't even tell him where he wanted him to go. He said, just get up, take your family, take everything you have, leave your father, leave the rest of your family, and go to a place that I'll show you to go. Abraham said, okay, God, not what I want. Now again, Abraham wouldn't have chosen that if it was his will. He wouldn't have chosen to pick up and move his family not knowing where he was going. He wouldn't have picked up and chosen to move his family not knowing the place. Would it be a place that would support his family? Would it be a place that would support his animals? Would it be a place that he can make a living? Would it be a place that would be safe for his family? I mean, from a human standpoint, that would have not been Abraham's will. But he said, God, not my will, but thy will. If you want me to move, I'll move. If you don't want to tell me where you want me to move, I won't worry about it. I'll just pick up, I'll move, I'll listen to you. Not my will, but thine. I don't think it was easy for Abraham, but he did it. Then God came to him another time. After he had had Isaac, he and Sarah had prayed for a child, and they prayed for a long time. It didn't look like God was going to answer. They took matters into their own hand, and Sarah gave Abraham to her maid. And they had Ishmael, gave him to Hagar, and they had Ishmael. And then God gave them Isaac, the child of promise, the child that God was going to use to bless the earth. And when Isaac was young, God said, Abraham, I want you to take him on a mountain and I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice to me. That would have not been Abraham's will. No father would want to take his child and offer them for a sacrifice before God. Even somebody that loved God completely, no father would want to do that. But Abraham said, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Remember what the Bible says about Abraham? Abraham said, if God wants me to offer him as a sacrifice, I'll do it, knowing that God has the power to raise him again. He took his son to the top of that mountain, tied him up, built an altar, laid him on the altar, had the knife ready to plunge into his body to be obedient to the will of God. And God stopped him. Not my will, but thy will be done. Isaiah saw the Lord, saw a vision of the Lord. I saw the Lord setting up on a throne, high and lifted up. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And God asked the question, who are we going to send? Who are we going to send with the message that needs to be delivered to my people? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. I don't think he wanted to deliver a message of judgment. I don't think he would have chosen to be that one that talked to God's people about their sin and about the punishment and the judgment that was going to come because of that sin. But as Isaiah was another one that said, no, I'm going to surrender to the Lord's will. Doesn't matter what my will is. Doesn't matter what I want. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to surrender my will to him. We can't be like Jesus in a lot of ways, but we can be like him in surrendering our will in every area of our life to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable, listen to me tonight, it's only reasonable that we surrender every area of our life to God. We can be like Jesus. Not my will, thy will be done. So we can be like him in his surrender to the will of God. Number two, we can be like him in service to others. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, but to serve others. He said, as a child, as a 12-year-old child, I must be about my Father's business. And his Father's business was serving others. Consider his life. His was a life of service. He served his family as he provided for them in his father's carpenter shop. He preached to fishermen. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He was always busy doing something for somebody else. His was a life of service. I wonder if tonight, if we took a piece of paper, if each one of us took a piece of paper and we took a pencil and we drew a line down the middle of that piece of paper, and we look back over our life the past week, just since last Sunday till today, and we listed on that piece of paper everything we did this week under two headings. One of the headings would be what I did for others. The other heading would be what I did for myself. Again, I'm not going to ask you to do that. I just want to ask you to think about it for a little bit. Took a piece of paper, drew a line down the middle, two headings. What I did for others, what I did for myself. And we listed everything that we did this past week. Which list would be longer? Which list would be longer? We know what Jesus' list would look like. Everything would be on this side. Everything that he did was for somebody else. I can't think of one thing that's recorded in the Gospels that Jesus did strictly for himself. Everything he did was for somebody else. He always had time for others. Little children approached him, and the disciples said, no, he's too busy. And Jesus said, oh, no, let the little children come. A woman was taken in adultery. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus to agree with them to stone her. And Jesus said, well, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. They all left. He looked up. They were all gone. He said, where's your accusers? And she said, they've all gone. He said, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. He sat on a curb of an old well in Sychar. A woman who had been married 5 times and now was living with somebody that wasn't her husband came, not at the appointed time when the other ladies came. She was too ashamed to come with the other ladies. She came at a time when she hoped nobody would be there. She saw a stranger at the well. He didn't turn her away. He didn't treat her as an outcast. He sat and talked to her about drinking of the water of the well that would never run dry. Blind Bartimaeus called out, Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. The crowd said, hey, he doesn't have time for you. Just be quiet. And Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, on the way to be crucified, stopped. Said, bring that blind man to me. Said, what can I do for you, sir? And there was two of them. We only know the name of one. They said that our sight would be restored. And Jesus restored their sight. a woman with an issue of blood that had been to every doctor and couldn't be cured, approached him in a crowd. One day as he was on the way to the house of a Jewish ruler whose daughter lay sick and was dying, she snuck up behind him and touched the hem of his robe and was healed from her issue of blood. What about us? What about us? What would our list look like? If we listed everything we've done the past week on one side for others and on the other side for ourselves, what would our list look like? Do we have time to serve others? Do we have time for children? Do we have time for the outcast of society? Do we have time for those with special needs? If we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to serve like he did. And then number three, if we're going to be like him, we need to live our life sacrificing ourselves. He said, I came to give myself. He gave up heaven's palace for earth's filth. He gave up his royal robe for a peasant's gown. He gave up God's riches for the poverty of earth. He could have been known as the world's greatest orator because they said about him, there never has been a man that has spoken like him. But he did not come to be a great orator. He came to give himself. He could have been known as a great doctor. He healed things that nobody could heal. He did things that nobody could do. He did things back then that no doctors can do today. Only God could do them. But he didn't come to be known as a great doctor. He came to give himself. He could have been known as a great fisherman. There were two occasions in the Bible that Jesus went fishing. He caught so many fish, the nets began to tear and the boats began to sink. If you're a fisherman, somebody asked me tonight if I was a fisherman, and I'm not, but if you were a fisherman, you'd want to take Jesus fishing with you because you'd have a fishing trip that you never, ever forget. But he did not come to be a great fisherman. He came to give himself. He was a great teacher, wonderful teacher. And we read about some of the lessons that he taught and parables and different things that he taught. And he could have been known as a great teacher, but he didn't come to be known as a great teacher. He came to give himself. In Romans chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says, for even Christ pleased not himself. He came to sacrifice himself. No power could have thrown him into the manger. He chose to be there. From the portals of heaven, he came and took the form of a man. All the host of hell couldn't hold him on the cross. He chose to be there. Why? Why? Ruth Ann sang about it tonight. The love of God for a soul like me, for a soul like you. That's what took him to the cross. He didn't go to the cross for any sin he committed. He went to the cross for my sin. He went to the cross for your sin. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I don't know how you can resist the love of God. The love of God sent his Son to die on Calvary. We were sinners. I mean, there's a penalty for our sin. That penalty is to be separated from God. But Jesus suffered the penalty for us. And if we trust him, if we receive him, if we accept the gift that he purchased for us on Calvary, the sacrifice that he made there for us, we too can become part of God's family. I read a story about a little boy and a little girl. They were walking down the street. It was fall of the year and it was cold. The little girl had a coat. Little boy didn't. Little boy got a little bit cold and he started to shiver. And the little girl said, hey, get in the coat with me. He said, well, it's not big enough for both of us. And she said, sure it is. Come on, I'll take my arm out of this hole. You put your arm in that hole. I'll keep my arm in this hole and we'll share this coat. And they tried it and it wasn't big enough. And the little girl says, here, you take my coat. You take my coat. I'm warm. You're cold. You take it. I've told you before the story about the teacher trying to teach math to her students. She said, let's pretend you have an apple pie. And there's five members of your family, your mom, your dad, your two brothers, and you. When your mom cuts the pie, how many pieces does she cut it into? One little boy raised his hand and said, well, my mom cuts it into four pieces. And the teacher said, no, you got it wrong. Listen, You're in a family, your mom, your dad, you, and your two brothers. You got an apple pie. How many pieces is your mom going to cut the pie into? Little boy raised his hand. She called on him again. He said the same answer. Four pieces. Four pieces. He says, "You see, teacher, my mom never takes a piece of apple pie. She always gives it to us." Anytime there was a need, Jesus met it. Didn't matter what it cost him. Didn't matter that he had to sacrifice something. He met that need. There's a lot of people today that have needs. If we're going to be like Jesus, we need to meet them. We can't be sinless like him. We can't be omnipotent. We can't be omniscient. But we can be like him in surrender, in service, in self-sacrifice. A little boy about 9 years old had an incurable disease and he was dying. His father, as much as he could, sat beside the bedside and tried to comfort his son. As the day approached that he was going to die, his dad took off from work and sat by his side hour after hour after hour. Rubbed his hand through his hair, stroked his brow, told his son over and over, "I love you." One day, the little boy said to his dad, he said, "Daddy, am I going to die?" It got to his father. He didn't quite know how to answer that question. He had to turn aside to wipe the tears away from his face. And so he turned back to his son. He said, "Son, why do you ask me that question? Are you afraid to die?" And the little boy looked at his dad. And he said, "No, Daddy, I'm not afraid to die. If God is anything like you, the older I get, the more I realize how short life is. David said, there's but a step between me and death. James says, life is a vapor that appears, then vanishes. Job says, life is like the wind, which cometh suddenly and ends suddenly. Somebody said, we begin life with a cry and end it with a groan. And the time between that cry and groan isn't very long. So let me ask you tonight as I close, how would you like to be remembered? How would you like to be remembered when you leave this earth? I've thought about it. I'll be honest with you tonight. I wasn't a very good husband. I spent too much time at work. I didn't pay enough attention to my wife. Adam, I'll tell you, I wasn't a very good father. Again, I spent too much time at work. I sacrificed a lot of time with my kids. I'm trying to be a better grandpa. I don't know if I'm succeeding or not, but I don't want to even be remembered as a good grandpa. I'd like more than anything else, when I leave this earth, for somebody to say about me, "Hey, that guy reminded me a little bit of Jesus. He reminded me a little bit of what Jesus was like." And that ought to be our desire, to live our life to be like him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for the example that he set for us. He walked the face of this earth as a man. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And he left us an example of surrender, of service, and self-sacrifice that we can follow. And I pray, Father, that we would follow his example, that our desire would be like Christ. I pray you speak to our hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. I pray that if something that's in our life that doesn't need to be there, you'll show it to us. And tonight we'll make the decision to get rid of it. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, Father, I pray you'd help them to see their sin, the penalty for that sin, how Jesus paid it for them on Calvary, and if they'd receive it. Many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Help them to come to Christ tonight if they don't know him. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.